And I think we're in a really interesting time for people, like the individual message makers. So I like to think of this as the age of the individual message. Success in business doesn't come until you feel successful in who you are. So for me now, success is more.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. My guest on today's program is Georgina El-Mushaidi. She's a copywriter and has been the voice and ghostwriter behind some of the biggest product launches out there in internet land. Like many of my guests, this life was not part of a plan and has become a journey of discovery. But first, last week saw the launch of Change Your World Every Day, and it has been an amazing journey. It's wonderful to be part of a team that is bringing this project into the world. Seeing people step up to the possibility of change is such a privilege. It's also pushing me to evaluate my own position. The topic that came up for many in the group this week was the recognition that life brings its struggles. And why is that so? Now, my wife prefers to call these things challenges, as she finds struggles or struggle as a negative word. Now, I've been considering this for a few days and I've come up with a different conclusion, that struggles or struggling and challenge could be the same thing. It's a question of perspective. Could there be a difference between facing a problem, that is taking on the challenge, or being in the struggle, that is resistance to facing the challenge? See, challenge or struggle, they are both obstacles on the path to our chosen destination. And what I notice from doing this podcast is even successful people experience their own challenges. And more than that, they often create them or seek them out. So why seek a challenge? I guess the question is, would life be worth doing if there was no resistance to doing it? Now think of all the best stories or films. It's all about the hero on a journey. The character goes through a series of events, meeting resistance on the path. These challenges strengthen the resolve to build the character, making them ready to meet the next big challenge. If Luke Skywalker hopped onto a spaceship and somewhere and blew up the Death Star within the first 10 minutes, the Star Wars adventure would not have lasted 11 films and counting. The point is, in order to live a good life, we need the challenge to keep it interesting. There needs to be some sort of stretch or strain, and the level of that will grow as you grow. For some, there is a desire to keep growing. And I've already mentioned that successful people go out of their way to create challenge and obstacle. They've reached a point where every day they need something to keep it interesting. Through this podcast and these interviews, I've been given a privileged access to people's lives, and I've seen the life path and the goals. And what comes to me is that these goals are just markers on that journey. They are points of momentary reward. But it's the journey between the goals that makes it all worthwhile. Anyway, that's enough of my preamble today. I think this conversation deserves its own podcast. If you have any thoughts on this, get in touch, because I'd love to explore other people's opinions around it. So back to my guest. I've known Georgina for a number of years. We've been in similar groups together, and I've seen her grow and develop, moving out from behind the scenes and taking more of a proactive role, presenting her message. Over the last few months, I've seen her expressing her own message, and this conversation is the story of her life and how it's moved in different directions. Over the last few months, she has been expressing her own message and exploring what that means in the world. Our conversation and this story is how her life has moved and is moving in different directions. To give you a bit more background, Georgina El-Mashady has been a professional copywriter and content creator for over 7 years. She's known as the secret voice behind some of the big seven-figure brands on the internet. It's her ability to unlock the message that has helped many entrepreneurs establish their thought leadership through the written word. She's one of the writers for Copyblogger and Talk Business. She has ghost-written articles that have been featured on sites like Entrepreneur.com and Forbes. When not writing, Georgina is passionate about personal development, the inner journey, the fearless expression. She loves deep conversations, long walks in nature, and spontaneity. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Georgina El-Mashady. So welcome to Life, Passion and Business. And I am delighted today to have Georgina El-Mashady on the line with me. Now, I have known Georgina for quite a long time, actually. This is the first time we've spoken, but like a lot of my social media friends, we interact a lot in writing and stuff. And I've seen Georgina blossom and flower over the last few years as she becomes more confident in her writing. So I know she's a copywriter and I've seen some amazing stuff out of her. So today we're going to find out what she's passionate about and where it all comes from. So Georgina, thank you for taking the time to be with me and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And I'm really excited to be here too. And thank you so much for inviting me on today.
That's great. So, Georgina, as I said, I have seen you grow because I met you a couple of years ago in a group, and you were, like a lot of people, when you came into the group, you were quite quiet. But now I see you about a lot, and I see you putting yourself out into the world all the time. So what's happened to you? How have you grown, and where has your passion come from these days?
Oh, great question. So, as you said, yes, my work is kind of copywriting, and what I've always had a passion for words and writing, expressing things through words. And actually, I do have a message of my own. However, I used to find it easier to hide behind other people's businesses and other people's brands. So sharing other people's messages is one way to be heard. But yeah, having your own story and having your own message, that was the thing that was more challenging. So I guess over the past few years, I just felt this kind of inner kind of nagging, this something was rising inside me that was saying, I need to start speaking out. I need to be heard. I need to feel seen for who I am, as opposed to being like that ghostwriter, that secret voice behind other people's brands and other people's stories. I had this calling almost that I wanted to have something to say as well. And so that's really where the kind of evolution that you've just described really kicked off, was starting to explore, you know, what is it I wanted to say? Like, it was almost like beyond marketing, beyond sales, beyond selling stuff, you know, what is the message that I want to bring out? What is it I really want to be talking about? And that's really been the driver behind what's happened to me over the past few years, is kind of diving into that story, figuring out more clearly who I am and what I'm here to say, what I have to say, and then starting to express that.
Mm. So where did it all start? Because I know you have been writing for a very long time, so because yeah. I've connected with that. But do you want to tell the audience kind of what, you know, where your writing story began?
Yeah, so really my writing story began when I was a child. I've been writing for as long, I know it sounds like a real cliche, but you know, I've been writing for as long as I can remember. Even some of my earliest memories are back in primary school, sat on the pink table in Mrs. Ribbon's class, like the age of 5 and 6, making sugar paper books. Remember that old kind of sugar paper we used to have at school, and writing stories and just feeling so comfortable in that space. And now, when I was a child, I was very ambitious, I was very driven, I was very determined. And I guess just being a little bit different, I ended up being bullied. And what that ended up doing was kind of making me become more insular. I became much more introverted. And in order to kind of process the feelings and the emotions I was experiencing, I started writing journals. And when we moved house recently, I found this box of contained like all my teenage diaries, like literally got about 15 of them, this big stack of diaries. And I did have a quick flick through. Oh my gosh, it was like seriously cringeworthy looking at some of my teenage musings and teenage thinkings. But that's really where the journaling aspect came from. It was then. And then I did the whole traditional route through school, did my A-levels, went to university, got a degree, got a graduate job, thought, right, great, I've made it. You know, I've got this job for life. It was in Royal Mail at the time. And I've achieved the success I wanted. I've got the job. And after a few years, it just hit me how unhappy I was. Just this deep and happiness, I felt that the work I was doing just didn't feel meaningful for me.
What were you doing?
I loved it at the beginning. Don't get me wrong. It was a great experience. So I did some work in the International Services Department, and I ended up working in Parcel Force doing some planning and communications in there too. And I loved it. It was amazing. I had great colleagues and contacts. And then I just hit this point where I just felt it just wasn't meaningful. Like if I didn't send out some of the emails I sent out, the world wouldn't change and then nothing was going to fall apart. And I wanted more for myself. I wanted more. And so, crazy, I just quit one day. It was this decision. I've got to go for it now. I've got to jump now. So I went to my boss, told him I was going to quit, and then bought a ticket to go to India. And then thought, right, I want to help people. I don't know what that looks like. I'm going to do a complementary therapy schools. So I then spent the next year training to become a complementary therapist, which then took me into teaching.
Which therapist did you become?
So I did massage, aromatherapy, did some diet nutrition. Oh, it was amazing. It was an amazing year. Crazy year. So that's when I got into energy healing and all this kind of weird stuff, as people would say back then. And then I went, then I met my husband on holiday, ended up we had three children, and then the lid just went on all this kind of self-development journey and I shut it all down.
That's a very potted history. What? How many years are we talking about in that lot there?
That was back in my 20s. So between 26 and 30, that's when I started this journey of self-discovery was mm-hmm. then. And then after having children, it was almost like I lost myself a little bit. And my eldest child is 12 now. My youngest is 5. And it was about 3 years ago that this stuff started to come up again. Like literally, I remember getting rid of all my spiritual books, getting rid of my essential oils. I literally threw it all out. It's like, this isn't me anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. But I think when it's something that's such a big part of who you actually are, you can only hide that. You can only discount it for a certain amount of time before it starts calling you again.
I always love that thing about, it's like that phrase, ignorance is bliss, is actually very true. Because mm-hmm. when you're ignorant around this stuff and you have no knowledge of it, there is nothing. But when you do know, as you say, it will always come back. It's impossible to get rid of.
Absolutely. And as I've been diving back into this stuff now, it just feels like I'm starting to kind of find more parts of myself and starting to feel more whole. And for sure, it's affecting how I show up. It's affecting my confidence. It's affecting the things I say. It's affecting the things that I want to do. And it just feels like it's a good place at the moment to be.
So you have been a ghostwriter for everybody else, as you say. You've done, when you say copywriting, what did you specialize in?
So I didn't specialize in any particular niche. And this is where kind of the find your you stuff originated from, really. It was, I specialized in working with people that had something to say. Like they had a message, they had a product or a service, but behind that product or service was something that was really meaningful, was something that if enough people heard it could make a big difference.
Okay.
I was always driven around working with people who had a mission, working with people who had a story to say, working with people who had something like an important conversation.
So supporting other people's missions was your thing.
For sure. Yes.
So were you passionate about doing that? Was there a passion in this?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things I love most about the work I do with other businesses is just hearing about where they're coming from, what they're discovering, this whole evolution we're going through, what people are learning through the experiences they're having, how they're joining up their own dots. I just love being part of that conversation.
I get the sense that we're very similar in many respects, because I do this from a marketing perspective, and mm-hmm. there is some element of text and stuff, but it is an element of identifying what it is. And I notice in myself, I'm beginning to notice that when I see someone that's really switched on with what they're doing, it gives me such a buzz to know that I'm part of that.
Yes.
I guess what I'm also noticing, just listening to you talk about it, is that I'm using it as a substitute for my own buzz.
Yes, and I think that's the conclusion I kind of came to. It's amazing being part of someone else's mission, and that's definitely something that isn't going to change in the near future, because I love the people that I work with, like dearly, I love them so much. And on the side of that, I also want to be having my voice out there too, because not just from a marketing or business building perspective, but there's something beautiful that happens when you really start to discover who you are through the inner journey process, through reflection, through journaling, through inner inquiry, through experiences. But then you'll process that information and then you share it, you express it. It's like the inner journey, outer expression. It's this infinity loop. And the both of those parts of the coin enable us to know more about who we are and how we can share more in the world.
So let's try and put that into some context. So what is it that you are bringing to the world at the moment? Because I saw you the other day doing a wonderful Facebook Live and we started interacting there, and I kind of hijacked it from you a bit because I could kept answering questions of you, which you said was fine, but I felt like I was hijacking. Which is why I invited you on the show, because I was intrigued by what you were saying and what you were exploring. What is it that you bring to people? What is it that you want people to do? That's your message.
Okay. So I think we're in pretty crazy times at the moment. Mm. You know, on the big scale, there's lots of like structures and systems that kind of aren't working. Mm-hmm. We're heading towards like a climate crisis. There's political stuff that's going wrong. There's just so many things. And I just feel that we need a big shakeup in the sense of how do we move forward from this? And I think we're in a really interesting time for people, like the individual message makers. So I like to think of this as the age of the individual message, where we're able as individuals to look back over our own lives, to join up the dots that we've lived through and figure out what it is life has taught us. And then we can share that with other people to help them make whatever change they want to make in their life too. It's almost like as an individual message maker, your message is for you. Absolutely. It's primarily for you to help you figure out who you are, to help you step into the fullest version of you that you can possibly be.
Yeah.
But your message is also a piece of the jigsaw for somebody else. And by sharing your message, there are other people out there who are going to be inspired by your story. They're going to recognize themselves in your experiences, and understanding how you've processed the things that you've been through, how you've achieved the results that you've got. There'll be something in there for them too that will give them ideas to try, or maybe different mindsets to take on. And I just feel it's also this step towards greater collaboration and joining together, where all these individual messages are kind of, imagine this world where we're all sending out these little ripples, and these ripples of change are spreading out further and further and helping all of us collectively to kind of evolve our consciousness and make the world a better place in the future for our kids and for our grandkids and also for us than it is today. Mm. So that's really where I'm coming from, is I want to show people that the things they've lived through actually are significant, not just for you, but also for your audience. That's my message.
Hmm. And for me, that message, I explore this in the podcast, because I came to these podcasts out of the death of my father. I watched him lose the will to live over the last 5 years of his life. And it occurred to me that was a very easy journey that I could quite easily hook into, because I was equally finding the same kind of apathy in myself. I don't know, what's it all for, you know? So I reached out to start asking the same questions. And I think that's what this podcast has become. It's become a place for people to share that story. Mm-hmm. So we can all look at it and go, okay, that's how you do it. Well, it doesn't work for me that way, but that bit does. And I think that's a very clear, it's a very interesting distinction what you're coming up with there in terms of that.
Yeah, and I think there is no one way to do it.
No.
Actually, what we need to find out is our way. And I think we've been so programmed to say, oh, this is the system, this is the linear route through life, this is step A, B, C that we have to do. And we're all trying to fit into these boxes that, oh, well, that system worked for somebody else, so if it doesn't work for me, what's wrong with me? No, actually, there's a unique path that you can take through life. And
it is again, fascinating, that journey we've taken, isn't it? You think about it, in terms of if you think of our parents' journey. Mm-hmm. I mean, my father told me a story of when he used to work for the Greater London Council. Well, it was because of the London County Council before it was the Greater London Council. And he was standing in the workshop one day, and his manager came up to him, and they were talking about a project. And the big boss said, could you ask Mr. Harvey if he could do so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so? And the guy went, Jeff, could you do this and this and this? And he says, yes, John, I could. Great. Yes. He says, yes. It was that stupid. It was literally like a scene out of a Monty Python movie. And that's where we've come from. This idea of you actually have no control of your world and no voice either. And we have this where we can say what we like.
And I think that needs to change. And I think, like, the younger generation, they kind of know that. They know that they have, we are more powerful than we, again, it's another cliche, but we are actually more powerful than we realize, in the sense of when we start learning to trust ourselves and looking within and getting the answers from there, rather than always being reliant on what people tell you or what information is out there. It's like finding your way, and finding your way, that's where all the magic lies, because you know, we're all unique human beings, but that mix of personality, life experiences, philosophies, pain, successes, triumphs, all that kind of blend just mixes together to create something that's beautiful.
So where's this going for you? Where is this going to end, do you think? Where are you taking this? Is it big? So,
yeah, I think it is big. It's still very much in its infancy. It's still very much evolving and it keeps changing. So it started originally, oh, this is a way for people to market their business. This is a way to stand out from the competition by using who you are to attract the people that you can best serve. It started off just like that. It's like, okay, I'm really fed up of seeing these same conversations on social media, all these sound bites, all these kind of really superficial conversations. I want to know more about you. I want to know more about who is the person behind this business. Because at the end of the day, we work with people. We don't work with, you know, a faceless entity. We always like to connect with the person behind the brand. So
yes,
that's where Find Your You kind of originated from. It was giving people insight, giving people ideas for how to dig into their story so they had something unique to sell and unique to share. But as I kind of got into that more, I realized, yeah, this is about marketing, absolutely. This is about building a business, because as far as I'm concerned, your business is an extension of who you are.
Yeah.
And if you can be more real in your business, then it just feels much more natural. And I like, there's not, it's removing the separation between work, play. Actually, why not play in business? That's much more fun. But what happened as this kind of evolved more, and this is where a lot of confusion came in. It's like, no, hang on. There's something personal development and spiritual in this too, because actually what I'm talking about here is, how do you find you? How do you find who you are in all of this? How do you kind of peel away the labels and see what's underneath that? Now, who are you? Who are you when you're not mother, when you're not wife, when you're not friend? Who is the you inside? What is it you have to say? What is it you can create? And I feel that's where this is kind of going closer towards. It's helping people and myself through the process, like, figure out who we are. And what can we really do? What can we really say when we kind of clear away all the layers and have those deep conversations? And
it's a question how you get there, because you're not your job, you're not your thoughts, you're not your feelings, you're not all these things, and yet you are something.
Yeah, and this is where it gets really interesting, isn't it? And
it gets very interesting. This is where the mindfulness and where you start getting into that, into those deeper esoteric conversations that some people go,
because I love those kind of conversations.
It's like it makes them scream. Because it's very hard to have those thoughts and those have conversations about those things, because it's about thought and the thought's not yours in the first place, and it goes around and around in circles.
It's a fascinating place to be as well, and I just feel that one of the things I've been thinking about recently is getting more into like cycles rather than linear. So I'm a productive person. I'm very focused. I'm ambitious. However, sometimes when you're so like steamrolling ahead, trying to create something, there's so much noise going on. You don't hear the silence of your own thinking, almost like the silence of your own soul, as it were. And I feel that there's an element of this find your you process, where we almost slow things down, like take a breath, get introspective, start journaling, see what actually your heart wants to say, see what your soul is calling you to do.
So is there a process around that? Because you've mentioned journaling several times. Sorry to interrupt you, but you've mentioned it several times. Mm-hmm. It's like, you start, because it's just start journaling feels a bit like, how?
Absolutely. Yes, there is a kind of process around this. There's a process in terms of asking the right questions, so using questions to guide you to have the conversations with yourself that enable you to uncover some of this stuff. That, because I find with a lot of people, myself included, that is my story really that interesting? Have I really got anything to say? Because I've lived it, I've breathed it, it's just kind of normal for me. But it's not until when you start journaling and start looking underneath some of the layers of what you have been through, you start to realize the richness in that. And there are, you've always got things that you can share with.
And you say, it gives access to the soul, you think?
I think so. I think there's different layers to it. So when you first start journaling, you're very much in your logical mind and you're writing logical stuff. And then you kind of sink below that and you start to maybe tune into how your body's feeling. And then you can write from that place. And then sometimes you end up channeling something. There have been a few times in my life that I've written stuff and I've read it afterwards and thinking, where did that come from? Like, that is just, you know, wow, that's really touched me. That came through me. That didn't actually come from me.
So I do journaling and I've done it in a variety of ways. I've even done a podcast about my morning routine, which is varying a bit at the moment. I used to do the morning pages, mm-hmm. which is 3 pages of writing, not stopping, which yep. is the Julia, is it Julia? Whatever, it's the artist's way. It comes out the artist's way.
Yes.
So I did that for 100 days or so, I guess.
Wow.
So that was quite good. But my journaling now, it tends to be short. It can be a bit bitchy and whiny, a bit moany. I can't say I've ever gone through what you're suggesting. So it'd be fascinating to hear what those questions are or some tips for our listeners about how, you know, something brief, how they could journal.
Okay, so I think there's a number of ways you can journal. Sometimes I just write like a monologue. What is happening? What's got me stuck?
Yeah.
I think one thing we were talking about the other day is that sometimes you can get yourself in like a thought loop where you're just going over the same thing over and over again and actually not getting anywhere with it.
Yep.
Whereas when you journal around that question and start to process what you're thinking, what's actually happening, it helps you come to a resolution so that you can then move on to something else. Mm-hmm. So that's one way I journal is, okay, where am I stuck right now? What's actually happening right now? How can I move through this? often I'll journal about what I want to create. I'll journal about what I'm thinking. I like to listen to, there are 2 books at the moment that are just such big influences for me. So there's Rebecca Campbell, her Rise, Sister Rise and Light is New Black. And then also Lisa Lister. I've been listening to a book called Witch that she wrote. And I tend to listen to these books often and they often spark thinking in me. So that's another good way to journal is to look at what is kind of on the same frequency as what you're thinking. And then use those prompts to deepen your own understanding of who you are. There's journaling for yourself and there's also journaling for content creation. So a really powerful way, this is one of my favorite exercises for journaling for content creation, is I call it like reflecting on your timeline. So it's a simple process. You map out the timeline of your life from when you're born all the way up to where you are now. And on that timeline, you mark in like your defining moments. So what are some of the big dots in your life that you've lived through? It might be having children. It might be a big success, a big failure, some of the events that kind of defined you. So for me, I would put down about my bullying experiences. I'd write about traveling in India. I'd maybe look at the way I met my husband. And then looking at these key events, you can then look at how the thread has woven through. Because my parents always used to say to me, oh, you keep changing your mind about what you want to do. There's no consistency there. But actually, when I look now, I look at how the threads just all perfectly kind of sewn together and all those various skills that I did and things I learned over my life, how it's just brought me perfectly to this point in time. And then you can also look at these key events and think about, okay, what did these events teach me? How are they relevant to my message? And how can I turn those into stories that I can use in my content and share with my audience? So, you know, your message, your marketing, it's just like a living, breathing expression of who you are on a day-by-day basis. You can use your life to influence what you write about. You don't just have to write about product benefits and features. Of course, that's important.
This is very much about the individual, isn't it? This is very much for the smaller operation. Because it doesn't that, and this is why I think the brands are starting to struggle. Because they can't be real like this. They mm-hmm. they pretend to be the caring organization. They mm-hmm. greenwash or they wash themselves in whatever is the latest bandwagon to be driving by. Whereas as individuals, we can be more authentic. And it is about authenticity.
Yeah, and I think we're desperate for more authenticity at the moment. We're looking for like these real conversations.
That everything's so superficial.
It is, and I think superficial is good for a while, but it comes a point in time where you're like, oh, no, there's something missing for me now. There's something lacking for me. And I can't be living in this superficial way anymore. That's certainly how I felt, like this need to be deeper, this need to understand things at a deeper level, to ask deeper questions. Mm-hmm. Like just for me, that's just a much more, it feels more fulfilling for me.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a morning routine? a day routine?
So I have three kids, so my routine is obviously in the very early morning, it's built around them. So getting them to school, what I have started doing is when I've dropped my two youngest children at primary school, I always go for a walk. It's like my power walk, to get, because as a writer you can imagine spend quite a lot of time sitting down, which isn't so good for you. So on my morning walk, sometimes I'll just process or be with my own thoughts. Other times I'll listen to an audiobook, and that gets me thinking too. And I'll come back from my morning walk and then I'll do my journaling. So I tend to write about 2 pages of kind of whatever comes up. I might ask a question. I might write about something I thought about on my walk. And then I use my self-journal to kind of plan out my day, and then I'll get to work. So those are things in my morning routine. So a bit spiritual, a bit physical, and then a bit mental.
Sounds good. So what is your success metric? You've touched on this a little bit because you obviously broke out of the classic success metric. What is success for you now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And one, I think I still haven't fully defined it. So for a very, very, very long time, my success was defined by success in work or school. So when I was a kid, for example, I was a high achiever at school. I was a high performer at school. And that gave me a lot of satisfaction in terms of I'm successful because I've got really good grades, for example. And then that fell through into work. Okay, I'm successful because I got a promotion. I'm successful because I'm earning this much money. And I think in business, I found it quite difficult to create the success because I was going after the same definition. I want to create this scale of business or have this many clients. Actually, what I'm realizing is that success in business doesn't come until you feel successful in who you are. So for me now, success is more about finding that work-life harmony, which I have not got figured out yet. Like, I do struggle to juggle enough time with my children, with enough time for my creativity, with enough time for my business, with enough time for my health. But success is about, for me now, it's about how do I feel in myself? Like, do I trust myself? Do I know myself? Do I feel good in my skin? That is how I'm measuring success right now.
That's a nice measurement, actually. Do I feel good in my skin?
Why yeah. Not? Yep.
That's good.
I think otherwise success in business just feels empty, because that's what I've been doing in the past. I've been chasing all these things, all these external things, thinking, oh, when I get that, I'll feel good. When I achieve that, then I'll feel successful. And then I hit that target and think, oh, right, no, that's not it. That wasn't what I was looking for. What's the next thing? Whereas actually what I was always looking for all along was that self-acceptance, that deep self-acceptance.
I always love the phrase, quote, and it's probably not his, but a mutual friend of ours who tends to swear quite a lot, I think it says something like, if you're a miserable something or other, I won't use the word he says, when you're poor, you'll be a miserable something or other when you're wealthy.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? It's true. Yeah, we're in a culture, I think, that's very driven by like figures and commodities to prove success, whereas actually, as humans, I think we need more than that. It's how we feel about ourselves and how we feel connected.
You know, this is what I know. This is my tuppence worth on the subject, but it's my bloody podcast, so I can say what I like. I suspect what we are missing, what's happened to humanity, is we've walked away from religion. Now the problem is, religion was a structure. Jesus was not a Christian. He was a spiritual leader. Moses was not a Jewish person. He was a spiritual leader. They were just normal people living a spiritual path. It's only afterwards that they get labeled in something. And it's the label and the rules that were overlaid over those things that created the religions that we know of in the world. And once you followed one of these religions and you were and the promise of the better land was in this thing for following these rules, life was simple. Mm-hmm. Because we could see that, oh yeah, well, I'm doing the right thing by God. It's simple. Once you strip that away, you then got to find purpose for yourself. And I think that's what a lot of people have lost, because what's the purpose of it all? What is it about? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, and if you can't find answers that satisfy you, you end up in this rabbit hole, this wormhole of just, it can drive you crazy.
Buy more stuff, you'll feel better.
that's what our culture's kind of... That's where our culture's been.
We've replaced that fulfillment with
things
and money and experience, I guess, which is, I don't know, it is what it is, and that's where we are, and hopefully life will move on from it.
I'm sure it will. I feel some of the challenges we're facing now are directly affecting some of those things that we've come to rely on to define ourselves with.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was picking up on that some of the other day. Someone was saying about this and this and this, and goes, what you have to remember, we can change all these things, but we're never going to consume our way out of climate change.
No, absolutely not. No, we always backtrack and go back to.
It's like, no, I don't think we can consume our way out of this somehow. No. But hey, there we go.
Nice idea, though.
So tell me, here's the one question which you're not expecting. What okay. is the one question that I should have asked you that I didn't?
Oh, gosh.
And okay, it doesn't need to be one, but it's an opportunity for you to say what you like, which you probably have anyway.
So I think maybe the one question is the story around how I met my husband, because I think that kind of reveals quite a lot about my philosophy on life and how I'm willing to jump when I feel called to do so.
Do you want to share that?
I can do, yes.
Up to you.
So in my 20s, late 20s, I was teaching and I basically fell in love with Egypt. So I went with a friend one year. We ended up in this little village called Dahab on the Red Sea coast. And I actually came back from Egypt that year and bought all my tickets because I was going to go move there. But I ended up doing the logical thing and investing in my teaching career. But this place called Dahab did not leave my heart. Had a picture of it on my desk. It called me every day. So the following year in the summer, when I was deciding what I was going to do with my lovely 6 week summer holiday as a teacher, I thought, right, I'm going to go back to Dahab. I'm going to go and spend a month there. I'm going to take my journals. I'm going to go write. And I'm just going to be in that place. And I went back and I met my husband. And crazy story. He was the diving instructor, the place I was learning to dive. And we had a very quick romance, got married after 3 months. And I just felt that it was an amazing experience because everything seemed to collide to create the perfect opportunities. And like logically, it was the most crazy, ridiculous thing to do. I was marrying this person I hardly knew, who was from a different culture, a different country, lived 5,000 miles away, but it just felt so right. And I think sometimes you have to override your logical brain and listen to what your body's saying, listen to what your heart is saying, because that is where you'll find the truth. That is where you'll find the things that make you happier, that make you happiest. And we've obviously had our ups and downs, but we've been married for 13 years now, have 3 kids. And it was just the most amazing experience. That just goes to show what happens when you just trust yourself and trust that the right path will open itself up for you. Mm-hmm. And wow. I feel that's where I feel where I am now, is almost trusting. Mm-hmm. I haven't got a clear plan. I have intentions, but not a clear plan because I haven't got all the pieces figured out yet. But I just know that step by step, keep going in the direction that feels right, and you will find the right way.
It is amazing, isn't it, these things? It's like those kind of meetings, those chance meetings. Mm-hmm. It's like I met my wife on a workshop in London. Mm-hmm. We were both assisting on this workshop. And she wasn't going to go to that workshop and do that. But it was because she discovered it was the last time it was ever being run in London. She traveled down to Manchester, from Manchester to London, to be on this event.
Wow. That's amazing.
And we never spoke all weekend. We only met each other in one of the exercises that we assisted together. And then after at the party, I was just chatting to her. I think I helped her out with something at some point, and I was just chatting to her and I saw an amazing bottle of red wine. She says, I don't drink red wine. I says, you'll like this one. So I poured this glass of red wine and we just drank this red wine, and she really appreciated, and she liked red wine from that point on. It's like, wow, you're right. It's a nice glass of wine. And that was it. We had those sort of conversations and we just started talking. And that was 25 years ago.
Oh, I love it. That's amazing.
So you never know, do you really?
You don't. Sometimes you just have to go in your gut.
What is amazing is you could go back in time. If you could go back in time, uh-huh. You could go into a library in London in Enfield, and you could remove some flyers out of the tray there. You could remove them. They were flyers for an amateur dramatics play called A Tale of Two Cities. If you took those flyers out and they weren't there, I would never have done that play. I would never have joined that acting organisation, and I would never have met my wife. It's the one pivotal thing you could remove from time, and my timeline would change completely. Isn't that amazing that you think there's one thing?
That is amazing.
One little thing.
I love it.
There's a whole chain of events from that flyer to meeting my wife. Like two years later. Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing.
Thanks. And it's beautiful, isn't it? Because I'm sure lots of people have that kind of experience of synchronicities and just going with the flow and being able to track back to something that if they hadn't done that one thing, then it's almost like that sliding doors moment as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's loads of other things I could tell you about, but some of them I can't tell you about on this podcast because this is too public. So maybe when we start recording, I'm going to tell you one of them. That was about other people that we've met. It was quite interesting. So look, tell me, let's move on from the fine bit. What is it who is it you're looking to talk to? Because obviously this is about, obviously an opportunity for you to share your story and for people to make connection with you. Who are your ideal people that you can help?
So I love working with people that are impact driven. So people that are looking to create something that helps other people create something, do something. So for sure it's impact people. And I'm looking for people that feel they want to spark more meaningful conversations. They want to be talking about the deeper stuff. Yeah. They want to be challenging and they want to be exploring who they are in the process of expressing their message, knowing that as they know themselves more, so their message will become deeper.
And so what is it you do with them? Do you do the writing for them or do you guide them in the writing? What is the service that you're providing those people?
So it's kind of two things. So on the one hand, yes, there's writing for people. So the way I work in that sense is basically I have conversations with people and I'm quite good at kind of getting inside someone's head and under their skin to kind of know who they are so I can write on behalf of them. And then, you know, we have regular conversations so we can talk about the stories that want to be shared. But I also I'm also looking to move into more mentoring where I'm putting together a program that's going to provide question prompts to help people unpick their own message jigsaw so that they can start to see the breadth of things they could be talking about. And I feel that, I remember when I started this journey second time around, I was like, well, I'm a copywriter. I don't know what else to say. Actually, looking back from my own story, I started to see all these other aspects, all these skills I was bringing to my work that I had no idea of. And starting to then be able to label those and own those as things I bring in my work, it was more than just the writing. It was all the other stuff behind that too that helps people to know what to write about. That's the key, isn't it? It's knowing what you've got to write about to get that message across. So those are the two aspects of the work that I enjoy doing.
That's fantastic. Great. So is there a website for them to visit or how do they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Georgina Elmashady, or my website is findyouyou.co.uk.
Okay, so those links will be on the podcast and obviously people can find you there. So we come to the last question, which is the big question. And I've sort of touched on it a little bit, but, you know, we are animals effectively. We're born into this world and we grow and then eventually, you know, we have a lifetime and we die. And the humans are the only ones that think they have a greater value to be on this earth because we are the only ones that have a kind of a sense of it. Whereas we are animals. So what's the purpose? Why are we here? And for you, what is the meaning of life?
So I think the meaning of life for me is to figure out kind of who we are. So, and knowing that, just going deeper, like going deeper into who we are and remembering who we are as like a soul, as well as a physical being and what that means and then how that you can use that to express yourself. And I think the meaning of life is to experience that, to enable us to translate who we are into something physical. So that we can build those relationships, we can have an impact, we can create something. That is what I believe.
That's lovely. Thank you. So, Georgina, thank you for your time to be with me this afternoon. It has been a pleasure talking to you. And it's been lovely talking to you on Zoom because I can actually see it. See, you can't do this. I can do this because I can see it, but you can't. It's been wonderful to have this conversation on Zoom and just connect with you.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Some amazing questions, really thought-provoking. And thanks for the opportunity.
Simple questions, sometimes complex answers.
Yeah, it's good to have the opportunity to talk in like a deep way about this stuff that's so meaningful.
Yeah.
So thank you.
All the best.
Thank you so much.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Georgina Elmashady. As always, you can get in touch with my guest using the links on the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. These links will be under the podcast player at the bottom of the page. I mentioned Change Your World every day in the intro, and I want to tell you a little bit more about it. This project is online coaching and it grew out of the Change Your World conference. It features many of the speakers that appear at the conference and it's about daily practice starting at 7 a.m. on a Facebook Live check-in. The project is in its second week and we're already seeing some astounding results. People are already stepping up and finding their power. They're exploring what they want, taking risks in the safe space that is the group. It is amazing to watch people identifying these things, looking at their lives, and they're identifying what it is they need to do to change in their lives. I have to say, I am privileged and inspired to be part of this project. So are you looking to change? If you're looking to make changes in your life or get more satisfaction out of it, I cannot encourage you enough. Find something that works for you, whatever it is, but it will be or require some form of daily practice. Change does not come by thinking and waiting. Change takes thinking, planning, and acting. So come and join us. Change your world every day could be what you're looking for. We are there to help you explore and discover the daily practice that works for you. Over the next year, we will be exploring all manners and forms of practice. Lastly, we're looking at what it means to be involved in personal development with some simple practices that you could start with. This week, we're exploring some of those tools using journaling. All of this material will become a resource which you can access as soon as you join the group. So what does it cost to join the group? Well, the cost is very simple. It's £1 a day. And what you get from that pound is all the material available instantly to you, plus the support and accountability of a group of people who all want to see you succeed. If you would like more information about Change Your World every day, go to changeyourworld.me or find the links at thelifepassionandbusiness.com. So that is it for me this week. I'd like to thank you for your time and attention, and I will catch you next time. Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Georgina El-Mushaidi. As always, you can get in touch with my guest using the links on the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. These links will be under the podcast player at the bottom of the page. I mentioned Change Your World every day in the intro, and I want to tell you a little bit more about it. This project is online coaching, and it grew out of the Change Your World conference. It features many of the speakers that appear at the conference, and it's about daily practice, starting at 7 a.m. on a Facebook Live check-in. The project is in its second week, and we're already seeing some astounding results. People are already stepping up and finding their power. They're exploring what they want, taking risks in the safe space that is the group. It is amazing to watch people identifying these things, looking at their lives, and they're identifying what it is they need to do to change in their lives. I have to say, I am privileged and inspired to be part of this project. So are you looking to change? If you're looking to make changes in your life or get more satisfaction out of And that was Life Passion. It. I cannot encourage you enough. Find something that works for you, whatever it is, but it will be or require some form of daily practice. Change does not come by thinking and waiting. Change takes thinking, planning, and acting. So come and join us. Change your world every day could be what you're looking for. We are there to help you explore and discover the daily practice that works for you. Over the next year, we will be exploring all manners and forms of practice. Lastly, we're looking at what it means to be involved in personal development with some simple practices that you could start with. This week, we're exploring some of those tools using journaling. All of this material become a resource which you can access as soon as you join the group. So what does it cost to join the group? Well, the cost is very simple. It's £1 a day. And what you get from that pound is all the material available instantly to you, plus the support and accountability of a group of people who all want to see you succeed. If you would like more information about Change Your World every day, go to changeyourworld.me or find the links at the lifepassionandbusiness.com. So that is it for me this week. I'd like to thank you for your time and attention, and I will catch you next time.